Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is Arms Race 2.0. Is Armageddon right around the corner? Focusing on the Western reaction to President Putin's landmark speech last week. The Western mainstream media deliberately misportrayed President Putin's landmark military announcements as calling for a new arms race, despite their defensive intentions in restoring nuclear stability. The Russian leader revealed to the world the true state of his country's advanced research into hypersonic and drone weaponry that he said was in response to the U.S. pulling out of the 1972 anti-ballistic missile treaty in 2002, a move that President Putin decried as jeopardizing the strategic parity between the world's two most powerful nuclear-armed states. He famously mused that Russia's Western counterparts didn't want to listen to Moscow's objections back then, but that now they'll have no choice other than to listen and pay attention to what his country thinks about this issue, which will hopefully compel them into a new round of negotiations and deal-making aimed at securing the peace. Regrettably, but not unexpectedly, President Putin's full message was never delivered to his Western audience because their mainstream media outlets decided instead to decontextualize certain remarks and report on his speech as though it announced a new Cold War and attendant arms race, an interpretation that the Russian leader slammed as propaganda in an interview the day afterwards with Megyn Kelly. It's unlikely to have been a coincidence that so many mass media platforms all had the same incorrect understanding of President Putin's words, strongly suggesting that there's an uncertain degree of narrative coordination going on behind the scenes and between them, the intent of which can only be speculated as seeking to fan the flames of discord between the U.S. and Russia so as to reversely justify the Trump administration's massive military budget and alliance with the military-industrial complex. The problem with arms races, however, is that they have a tendency of spiraling out of control, with the initiator oftentimes provoking what they expect to be low-level proxy conflicts in order to keep the so-called threat in the public eye, and thus provide a reason to indefinitely continue public funding of the arms industry. The numerous flashpoints in the old Cold War testify to this fact, as does the Trump administration's latest decision to arm Ukraine with anti-tank weaponry. Russia, though, has proven itself deft at asymmetrically responding to America's moves in a more cost-effective and optimal way, such as through its latest hypersonic weapon systems, so it can be expected to keep employing the strategy going forward. All right, folks, many people are confused about exactly what President Putin was trying to convey last week when he announced Russia's hypersonic missile delivery system. So we're here to make sense of that by speaking to two very esteemed guests in the matter. The first one is Mr. Marcus Godwin. He's a political commentator and has been on Trendstorm several times before.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Marcus, so why do the mainstream media misportray the intent of Putin's speech? And was their effort aimed more at the general public in their countries or their decision makers?
Okay, well, the main purpose of Putin's speech, as far as I can see, was to get through to the Western public that Russia is very seriously armed and any attack against her would be extremely dangerous for Western populations. Now, obviously, the rulers of the Western world and the politicians of the Western world and the mainstream media of the Western world are one and the same organization who speak with one voice and march to the same drummer, do not want their public to understand this. And this is the main reason. So therefore, they portray Putin's speech as warmongering, as Russia has embarked on a new arms race. You know, this is all totally wrong. The weapons they've developed is a defensive measure because they understand perfectly well that they are under very, very serious threat from the Western world, from the United States and NATO. And it has been made absolutely clear through many examples, starting with Yugoslavia, then Iraq, then Kosovo, then Syria, Libya. what will happen, what their plans for Russia are if Russia does not conform to the Western will.
Yeah, and the thing about this mainstream media narrative, as you said, I mean, it has completely tried to change the whole intention behind President Putin's speech and also the ideas he was trying to convey that this is a defensive reaction to the aggression of the U.S., NATO, and their allies. So now, Marcus, what I'm wondering is, I mean, how convincing do you think the mainstream media's warped message has been? And will it have its intended effect in getting the audience to think what the mainstream media wants them to?
I would love to be optimistic, Andrew, but unfortunately, I think for the majority of the population in the Western world, maybe especially in the United States and Canada, I'm afraid it's going to work. A lot of people are saying that people around the world are waking up to all these lies that are coming from the so-called democratic West. And to some extent, this is true. But I've been through it, and maybe you have too. Waking up to this kind of fact is actually very, very hard. It's a very difficult experience when you have believed for many years, whatever the faults and problems in your own country, that, for example, my country, Great Britain, was nonetheless a beacon of democracy and justice and fairness in the world. And then I'm confronted with a fact that I can't somehow avoid, that actually the deep state in my country is one of the most evil, warring, destructive forces on earth, which is unfortunately the fact. And of course, the United States military industrial complex is exactly the same thing. This is why these countries are all together. Great Britain, Canada, France is the world's third largest nuclear power. For citizens of these countries to face this fact, I think many have looked up the rabbit hole and seen light. They've had doubts, and you know, but most people turn back. I know people even in my own family who just can't face it and just prefer to believe the cozy mainstream Western media. It's very sad, but I cannot be too optimistic, in spite of the fact that Putin's speech was deliberately made in a very spectacular way to attract the maximum attention from world listeners, from world viewers. It will make a difference, but I'm afraid this difference will be small. I don't think we're going to see a sea change in the attitudes publicly expressed, at least, of the Western public.
Okay, I see. Well, since we're on the topic then, Marcus, what should be done to counter the false narrative that the mainstream media has spread about President Putin's intentions? And how successful do you think such efforts could ultimately be? I know you just ended your last answer on a bit of a pessimistic note, but if we have to be constructive, what would you recommend should happen if, ideally, people are to wake up some more to the realities around them?
Okay, I've heard, you know, that here in Russia, the government is nonetheless cutting budgets for foreign broadcasting and so on and so forth. This must stop. They're one of the sole possibilities to inform the Western public is that there are very strong and very easily available media sources in every major language in the world, from Russia and from China and from other countries which are the victims of these people. It's, you know, for example, it's a pity Syria doesn't have English language, world television, etc., etc., etc. However, the other day, I kind of put this idea out on my Facebook blog. Because, for example, when I'm living with my family in France, I won't go into the detail, but there's a house and a flat. And I kind of realized that from this flat, which is on the fifth floor, if I had a simple old-fashioned megaphone, I could shout out of the window and about 2,000 people are going to hear me on one side of the flat. 2,000 people are going to hear me from the other side of the flat. If a lot of us who, I don't want to sound high and mighty, but basically it is a black and white fact. We understand the truth that Russia is not an aggressor country. Saddam did not have weapons of mass destruction. Libya, Gaddafi was not raping his own people with his soldiers. All of this is a lie. And if we can get this lie across by any means, I would say to Western citizens who have understood this and studied it, and we both know many of them, get a megaphone and shout it out of the window. Get in your car, drive around with the megaphone out of the window saying Assad is not gassing his own people. Putin is not an aggressor. He is fighting for your freedom, actually. It might sound revolutionary, and I've always been against street violence. I've almost never taken part in street demonstrations. It's not my thing. But, you know, things are getting kind of desperate, and it's impossible to understand the logic of the Western rulers. It's very easy to understand the logic of the utterly corrupt military-industrial complex, you know, the gravy trade of manufacturing all these weapons for profit. It's quite another to understand the logic of picking a war with the world's second nuclear power, that even these new weapons came online, even going back 4 or 5 years ago, military experts were clearly saying that the United States did not have the capability to stop Russia, all Russia's missiles hitting targets in the United States. Then, now, the situation is twice more extreme for the Western powers, and yet still they carry on.
Marcus, I appreciated our deep conversation about the mainstream media's manipulation of President Putin's speech and what should be done by the average person to wake up and see what's really happening in the world around them. That was very insightful, and I hope that our audience reflects on your words. Thanks for sharing that.
Trendstorm.
Now we're going to switch over and hear what Mr. David Hungerford has to say. He's also been on Trendstorm several times before. David is a veteran, grassroots activist, and self-taught Marxist economist. Okay, David, Russia's S-400s have undercut America's offensive superiority, while its hypersonic weaponry has done the same for its defensive one. So what effect will this have on the balance of power between them?
Well, I don't have much expertise on this question, on these questions of, military relations and military strategy. But what I can speak to is the internal balances. It's certainly, what effect might this have on the internal political balances in the United States? And the first thing that has to be seen here is that the United States is in a condition where, the very state authority itself is split. It is divided. We're not looking at a unitary state authority anymore. You have this sort of constitutional state versus deep state split. Foremost, on the deep state side, we are looking at, three-letter agencies like the NSA, which has been carrying on unlimited domestic electronic surveillance for years. So, and of course, that's closely tied in with the military and the military industrial complex. So it's bound to cause a lot of problems politically for that deep state complex. They're becoming more exposed all the time. They're going to ring the alarm bell. We can be certain of that. We're going to hear a lot about the Russian danger. We already hear Hillary Clinton attacking Trump for doing nothing to offset the danger of Russia, the non-existent danger.
Yeah. So it almost sounds like, Dave, what you're saying is that this development may not have necessarily changed the balance of international power, but that it might inadvertently give a certain side in the U.S.'s deep state civil war an edge in this case, right? Or it's going to embolden them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'd like to kind of expand on that then, because, it sounds like you have a pretty interesting thesis here that international events are also intertwined with domestic events, because this deep state civil war in the U.S. affects the whole world one way or another. And I mean, we have Russia on one hand that might possibly even proliferate this technology in the long-term future, just like it's doing with its S-400s and undercutting America's air offensive superiority. So how do you see these developments potentially changing America's military standing in the world? Or I guess maybe it's a more accurate question to your interest would be, how would this change the balance in the deep state civil war, particularly with the military-industrial complex?
Well, the deep state wants, unlimited expansion of the military budget. It wants as much money poured in there as possible. And the thing is that given the condition of the United States economy, you look at the goods-producing industries, now they pour out hundreds of billions of dollars every year in new capital. I'm talking about surplus value, just as Karl Marx described it. And they pour out so much new capital that it can't possibly go back into production and create more new capital. So what are you going to do with all of that excess? Well, they throw it, huge amounts of it, into the military budget. Look what happened in Trump's first year. He proposed something like, I think, a $615 billion military budget. Congress, acted to raise it to $700 billion. So there's, you know, the condition of the economy is such that this, I think, rather strengthens the hand to try and call for a new arms race, try and throw as much money in there as possible, under the some such pretext of saying that, well, you know how Reagan bankrupted the Soviet Union.
Right, you're basically hinting that the opposite dynamic might be applied here, where Russia, because of its defensive moves and unveiling this hypersonic weaponry, might actually, by appealing to the military-industrial complex in America, might basically get them to bankrupt himself and spark an economic crisis. So I think that's pretty fascinating right there, David, especially given the economic structural context that you described. Now, I'd like to move on to our last topic because we got about a minute left, and it's just about where you see U.S.-Russian relations headed now, because the mainstream media is trying to manipulate President Putin's words into framing them as hostile, aggressive, and announcing a so-called new Cold War. And you said this is really playing to the hand of the military-industrial complex. So can we expect U.S.-Russian relations to, in that case, get worse?
There are certainly very strong impulses to do that. What concerns me a great deal, you know, as an activist, is the fact that the peace movement has generally been split and rendered ineffective by the Russiagate hoax. But I think that one thing that could be raised on a people's side, and very effectively, is a demand to audit the military budget, because so much of that money is just stolen. There was a report last year in Reuters that the Department of Defense's own Inspector General started looking at the accounts and subaccounts of where the money goes to the Defense Department, and with a whole lot of overlaps, they found that, a total of $6.5 trillion. This is a lot of redundancy. $6.5 trillion of unaccounted for adjustments to the military spending. So I think that, in terms of where the people's forces might go most effectively, is to demand that military budget be audited. That's a huge scandal, parked right on the deep state doorstep, and would have a lot of effect, I think, in terms of popular opinion in the United States. We shouldn't leave that out of town.
David, I gotta say, this was a rather interesting conversation about how Russia's hypersonic missile announcement could unwittingly influence the U.S.'s deep state civil war, and also possibly reverse the old Cold War dynamic by getting America to bankrupt itself this time around. That's pretty provocative, but it makes sense in its own way, and I thought it was a really useful addition to the general conversation. I learned a lot, and I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Trendstorm.
So folks, if we reflect back on what both Marcus and David share with us today, we can see that there are certainly many different ways of interpreting what President Putin said. But at the end of the day, interpretation is one thing, manipulation is another. And the Western mainstream media is entirely manipulating President Putin's message of peace and stability as one of war and global destabilization. And as David remarked, this is interestingly having an effect on the dynamics of the U.S.'s deep state civil war by potentially emboldening the military-industrial complex to bankrupt itself at one of America's most vulnerable economic times, as it's in the middle of a trade war like we discussed on another segment this week. So, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, because it's certainly a very interesting topic, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kurepko. Thank you for listening, and take care.